your host for Lacrosse Talk PM, Rick Solem.
All right, welcome to a Wednesday of Lacrosse Talk PM. If you want to get in here, 608-785-7914. That's the talk and text line. On the show in 9 minutes, depending on how long it takes Brad to wrap up the news, Lacrosse City Council member Jessica Olson. But we might dive into some city council stuff, but also she more or less has announced she's going to run for mayor. And kind of weird timing, but somebody asked her about it, or it kind of came out and Lacrosse Independent was doing another story and that information kind of came out, and then all of a sudden it's news today. So she's going to come on and talk about that a little bit right before the November election. So that's why I say the timing is a little bit weird, because the mayoral election in Lacrosse isn't until April of 2021, not all that far away. And Lacrosse Mayor Tim Cabot hasn't announced whether or not he's going to run. We even awkwardly asked him on the show, and I gave him I could play the clip here if I can find it. We did ask him about that as we were talking about some other stuff, and this is what Cabot had to say. And this is the exchange anyway.
I didn't get to the question of whether or not you'll be running for mayor in 2021 in April, but you have 10 seconds.
I still got time.
You still
That's
got
right.
time.
You still got time. It's still early yet.
All right. I did get it in. He hasn't made his decision yet on April 2021.
So that was Cabot back in July. So, I mean, his opinion could have changed, and I could shoot him a text. Hey, mayor, you running? At this point, it's not all that important. He's going to run or he's not. There's a lot of time between now and April of 2021. But Jessica Olson has declared she's going to run unless somebody else better comes along. Then she's good to step back possibly. We could talk to her about that decision too. 608-785-7914. I did just see on the wisdomnews.com website, GOP Senate report on Biden's son alleges conflict of interest. That's the headline. This is the Ron Johnson report from Senator Ron Johnson. I didn't listen to my Fox News today to see what they were talking about in terms of talking points. So I don't have a lot to say about this at this point. I didn't read about it. I was kind of reading other things. But that's on there. If you want to go read that, wisdomnews.com. Other things that I thought were more interesting, and I kind of brought it up yesterday, but we didn't have a lot of time yesterday to talk. It's the idea that, Halloween is going to get canceled in Wisconsin. Winona has just set a travel advisory to Lacrosse. So people in Winona are being asked not to travel to Lacrosse unless, they need to. But if you're going to go for leisure activities, don't do it. Anything you want to do in Lacrosse, you can do in Winona at this point, I think. There's bluffs. You can go hiking in Winona. It's the same. We shouldn't be going to restaurants right now anyway. If you want to get carry out, Winona's got a Culver's. Lacrosse has, three Culver's. So, I thought that was interesting. And then, there is another story that Chicago has put Wisconsin on a quarantine list for the second time. That came out yesterday. I'm not sure how this works. If you want to go to Chicago, I can read the quote here from Chicago's health commissioner. Unfortunately, Wisconsin is currently is in very poor control when it comes to COVID. But the story here says Wisconsin was first added to the 14-day quarantine order in late July by the mayor there before it was taken off the list in mid-August. So if you want to go to Chicago, I think you have to park your car at the border and just wait there for 2 weeks. And then as long as you don't have any symptoms, of COVID-19 at the border there in your car, then you can go ahead and cross. I think that's how that works. I'm pretty sure. Don't quote me on that. Speaking of don't quote me on that, Joe Heim was on Monday, and then we were talking about the Supreme Court justice situation a little bit, and he did give us like a little bit of an update, and then after he said that, he goes, don't quote me on that. So I was like, wait a minute, you just said it. You can't. Usually that stuff comes when you're doing a recording or writing down quotes, you know, not live radio, and you know, someone will give you the, hey, by the way, that was off the record. Don't quote me on that. I'm not really sure. Or they say something that they don't really want that out there that I said that. So 608-785-7914. Again, the talk and text line. Jessica Olson's going to join us here in a couple of minutes. I'm trying to get Trigoski from UWL to come on just for a little bit at the bottom half of the hour. And I don't think he can. I'm pretty sure he can't, in fact. But when I told him, hey, do you want to come talk about this Hunter Biden, Ron Johnson, Joe Biden, you know, what the story is called, a, you know, politically charged report, if you want to come on and talk about this. And I think he does, but I don't think he is available right now either. So but we'll see. We got about a half hour. Got a half hour to rope him in. There was another story, too, on wisdomnews.com that Caitlin put up that about sex trafficking or child sex trafficking in Amish communities. That seems to be one of those deals where somebody hears something and then that rumor grows and then all of a sudden sex trafficking rings are abducting children out of Amish communities. And it's actually, no, it's kind of like what happened a couple of weeks ago where somebody called in and said there were busloads of Antifa members headed to or parked at or staying at Stony Creek in Onalaska, ready to come riot, loot, burn, and steal everything in downtown La Crosse, burn down the churches after that, you know, goofy priest video came out. And then somebody ends up out there letting air out of tires and buses. And then, you know, unfortunately, that led to that person being chased down, and then he stabbed somebody multiple times. So these are what actually fake news would be like when it's not actually in the news. It's just kind of rumor mill, and you kind of hear it, and it doesn't actually, you don't actually have reports of incidents happening. Vernon County did say there was a incident, and it seemed pretty basic, like somebody pulled up in a car. There were Amish kids near, you know, wherever, walking around, and they asked if they needed a ride, and the kids ran into the field. Of course they ran into a field, right? And then they ran away from that car, and the car pulled away. So that was it. So that leads, I don't know how that leads to sex trafficking rings abducting Amish people, but that's where we're at. All right, I'm going to break. Well, Brad, do the news. I'm going to break here for a minute and bring Jessica Olson on, talk about her run for mayor after this. All right, welcome back to La Crosse Talk PM. 608-785-7914 is the talk and text line. Jessica Olson is joining me now. Sounds like you're having a pretty busy day, so thanks for like squeezing us in here late in the afternoon.
Oh, sure, Rick. It's good to be on with you. How are you doing?
Are you getting ready for like choir practice? Is that what you were saying to me?
Oh, no, I have it's showing season, and the county health department, I asked them to reinstate the showings ban, and they won't do it, so I have kids calling me wanting to see what apartments are for next year, so I'm just drowning in PPE and my mask and hand sanitizer and showing my apartments and getting them signed for next year already, so yeah, I got a call last night, and I just decided to come out and tell the world I'm willing to run for mayor. I've had a lot of people asking me to run over the past year, you know, not just close friends and people I agree with, but people that really surprised me that they would support me in that role. And I think it speaks to a larger picture of what's going on down at City Hall. with the current leadership, and I think even the public's starting to see that too, is that there's definitely morale problems among some of the employees, and just certain things that reflect a lack of sensitivity in terms of how things are being handled. And maybe it's not even so much the initiative or the goal, but just the method of how we get there. And I whatever a new leadership looks like, it doesn't have to be me. I'm actually, there's a couple of people who I've heard rumors about, or one of them I've even spoken to, and I think there's a few people who would make a great mayor for our city. And if any of those people decide to run and they make a public announcement, I'm very willing to step back and support that person. But I really haven't heard of anybody who has formulated serious plans to challenge Mayor Cabot next spring. And I do think we need a challenger, because I just don't believe that I want to serve another term on city council under the current leadership. I see a lot of unnecessary resentment and an unnecessary hurt being caused by the method of leadership that he uses. And something more along the lines of servant leadership is, I think, what's going to bring our city back from all of the trauma of COVID and the economic impact and a lot of the social cultural issues that we're seeing emerging. I think we need somebody who is really willing to understand the people's will needs to hold strong. We can't just ram things down people's throats like we did with the law enforcement center in the latest CIP budget. I would really like to see a change in the culture down at City Hall, and I'm willing to try to lead that process if nobody else is willing to do it.
Well, you talk about challenging Cabot because he didn't have a challenger in 2017. Well, at this point, we don't even know if Cabot's running, but it seems. Do you know if he's running or not?
I really don't know, and that's certainly a decision that Mayor Cabot needs to make on his own time. And I'm really not interested in having a King of the Hill fight where we're trying to push each other down and, to see who gets to stand at the top. If it does end up being me versus Mayor Cabot, I want to run a campaign where I'm being constructive in how I criticize how he runs things at City Hall, so that even if we do have an election and he wins and he's our mayor for the next 4 years, maybe he can reflect on some of the issues I take with how it's being run, and he can be a better mayor for it. So I'm not really looking at this in terms of personal ambition, because I'm my family business is going to suffer, and the mayor's salary is not really going to cover what it's going to cost to hire enough help to make up for me being downtown 5 days a week. I don't even know if my mom's going to vote for me, because I think she wants me to focus on the family business. I really don't know how my family's going to deal with it. All of my vacation time from being mayor is going to be spent taking care of apartments, so I won't have a vacation for the next 4 years, but I'm willing to take a term at it just to try to bring a better situation to City Hall and cultivate leaders among other people. I think there's a lot of young people out there that we need to get into local politics in a way where they can be part of the solution rather than just protesting or unhappy with how city government works. And I think a more open tact is the route to take in order to bring the city to a better place.
Now, when you say morale is low at City Hall, or I don't know what you mean there, but I guess I kind of do, but I would say, Jessica, morale is low, period, everywhere, because of the whole global pandemic. So, I mean, can you be more specific? Because when I hear that, I think, and I've even had other people comment, morale is low. What is she talking about? Of course morale is low.
It's not just the general morale from the pandemic. It's definitely systemic problems in how business is conducted at City Hall. It's very difficult for me to get into details because, like I said, I don't want to put employees on the spot that have relayed things to me that really bother me. Other council members have heard it as well. One example of that is sending out a memo on a Saturday afternoon announcing the retirement of two department heads who've loyally worked for the city for two decades when they themselves haven't decided to retire yet. I mean, that sort of thing just really boggles the mind as to why an executive leader would do that without really sitting down with those people and conveying exactly what he wanted to present as an option. I certainly don't fault him for presenting that as an option, but it was the way that he did that that it chips away at the trust factor between the department heads and the mayor's office. And you know, and there's other small things that, you know, perhaps each individual incident isn't an impeachable offense, but at what point do you need to look at the aggregate and say, maybe it's time for fresh leadership?
We're speaking with Jessica Olson. She's been on the La Crosse City Council since 2017, so essentially since Mayor Tim Cabot ran for mayor unopposed back in that same election, I would guess. When it comes to being a mayor, sometimes, you know, hey, what are your qualifications? You just mentioned that your family runs, is it a real estate? How do you describe your family business?
Oh, well, we have about 150 college student tenants. My parents built 6 different apartment buildings over the years, mostly between the 2 university campuses. And so I kind of grew up in the business, you know, renting out apartments, taking care of the maintenance. I do all the snow plowing in the wintertime. I do, you know, small maintenance and that. So I have a little bit of exposure to business in that sense, and background with real estate. But I think the stronger point I bring to the position would be I've been studying servant leadership at Viterbo for a couple of years. I'm actually finishing up my master's thesis this semester, and I think that's really what I want to bring to City Hall more than anything else, because I think we have a lot of talent, and we want to keep attracting more new talent to join the ranks as we, you know, see employees turn over and department heads turn over. And I think the key to being a good mayor is not trying to be the jack-of-all-trades specialist expert, but to rely on honest, good, talented people to help guide the way in how to run an organization of that size. You know, what other organization runs an airport, a convention center, a park system, and, you know, all the different functions that city government provides. So you do have to have that expertise that you rely on to help guide you in that process. So I see the mayor's position as something that's supporting everybody in getting to that goal. And it's not to say that the mayor's screwed up in every which way possible, but I've seen so many things to see how it could be done better through my study in servant leadership that I'd just like to see a change.
I know since I've been, you know, before I was the host of the show, I was helping out, and I would say I was more of a sports writer trying to learn about politics in the last, you know, over the years as just being in the Wisdom studio. But when Mitch was doing the show, he would interview the mayor or city council people, and there always seemed to be a little bit of a rift between city council and the mayor. They maybe didn't see eye to eye, maybe fought a little bit, not physically, obviously. But sometimes I see that that's probably not the worst thing when the city council and the mayor don't see eye to eye on things, because, you know, you're going to have differing views. But do you see that? Is that still the case where the city council and the mayor are kind of, I don't know how to describe it, but like not so friendly with each other?
Well, there's been a lack of trust. A lot of things have transpired that have destroyed that trust between multiple different council members, including myself and the mayor. And that when you don't have that trust, you can't have constructive disagreement. It's certainly a good thing to have differing views coming together and working out those differences. It's when the trust factor is gone that things tend to go to the negative, and now the disagreement, it turns into disharmony. And I really don't think it's a bad thing to have that disagreement, but we need the trust there so that we can come back together and work on things going forward. That, you know, the cooperation has got to be a part of whatever the mayor does. And right now, yeah, that cooperative spirit is not there. So anyone going forward, I think, has to rebuild that trust, and we'll see.
You talked about the whatever you want to call it, the law enforcement, fire enforcement, not enforcement, the police fire combo building that's on. Is it called the capital improvement budget or the capital budget?
Yep.
For the next 5 years.
Capital improvement. Yep.
And I think you, I don't, I feel like you're kind of put off on that for the time being. But I would say I just want to argue that, you know, you were you pro La Crosse Center $42 million expansion, and now, you know, con with the law enforcement expansion?
What I would support is going back to the neighborhood association, whose membership and the surrounding neighbors who live there, and start with them as the beginning point, and explaining the problems, the need for it, and letting the neighbors say, well, I think we can support this, or no, we don't want this here. If anything, in my 3 years on council, I've learned that you have got to start with the people. And if you don't start with the people, you're just setting yourself up for failure, no matter how good you think your idea is. And so, I mean, that's actually one of the main points of the city council culture that I want to change, is that, you know, we just can't be working on things behind closed doors or at meetings without going to the actual people who live there. So it's not that I'm against having a center there. I just think, or a law enforcement center at that location. But I think we really need the blessing of the neighbors before we put it on the CIP. It's a major investment, and it's going to be a huge building. So I ask myself, would I want to live next door to a gigantic building that's going to have emergency personnel there 24 hours a day? Granted, we have a fire station there now, but what's being presented is going to be much larger and more intense of a use. So I just think it is fair and courteous to start with the people.
Are there other, I know that's a just kind of like a giant thing. Here's a thing that's millions of dollars. Is there anything else that you know, you've seen the mayor done? You talked about the memo that was sent out, and I believe that memo was sent out to the city council, right? It wasn't like it got out to the public, I think, eventually, and it just kind of mentioned like the La Crosse Center director possibly retiring, which is, some would interpret as, hey, by the way, we kind of want you to retire. But you know, so that memo, you know, didn't stay within, you know, the city council's hands. It got out to the media. But are there any other things that the mayor has done that you could point to specifically? You'd be like, you know, I would do this differently.
Well, actually, that memo didn't get out to city council. I want to be clear on that. Or if it got out to a council member, I wasn't on the list. So I found out about the contents of that through a text message of somebody really upset that found out about it. So I just want to put that on the record. I don't know who leaked it to the press or what have you. But, no, and I guess, how far back in time do you want to go as far as what, you know, things I would have done differently had I been in the executive position? I think the Hiawatha is another good example. I think we should have had 2-3 days of public hearing. You know, there were that many people who were that upset by how the statue was removed. At the end of the day, I supported it being relocated to private land, just, you know, and partially too because I don't think art should be destroyed. But people felt cut off. They felt like this was rammed through with no opportunity to say, hey, I disagree with that. And a lot of times, and this is what we study in servant leadership, is a lot of times people just want to feel heard. And I think that's what our job is as public servants, is to be that listening ear and to not necessarily agree all the time, but at least to understand what the other person thinks and feels and why. And I think that gives a degree of comfort to people, even when if they don't get what they want. And, I think the trails on the bluff where we rezoned the land, there was a lot of confusion. Once again, it goes back to the dysfunction of not starting with the people. And so over and over, we've seen these things. And we could go back and talk about the B1 plan for the center, because that was the exact same pattern of not starting with the people. And so I see a different way of running City Hall and also running it internally as an organization between the different employees and departments. And I'm willing to give it a shot. And if somebody else wants to take that mantle, I'm happy to let them do it if they're willing to do it the right way. And I wish Mayor Cabot all the best. I don't have any personal animus against him. And I just don't think he's the right man to lead us forward.
I would say, you know, I'm out of time, Jessica, and I know you're busy, but I would say if you're running for mayor, you're running for mayor. Stop saying that. I'll step down if somebody better comes. Damn it, you're the one. If you believe it, then you got to stop saying I'll step back for somebody else, because, you know, damn it, I'm the person that's going to run this city.
Oh, Rick, I've had a lot of love from people today. It's been wonderful.
All right. Well, thanks for your time, Jessica.
Thanks, Rick. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, that's Jessica Olson, city council member, basically announcing, although you probably maybe heard it during the newscast this all day today and maybe saw it on wisdomnews.com, but going to run against somebody April 2017, April 2021. Not even sure if Mayor Cabot's going to be on the ballot at this point. He announced back in July he had time to think about it yet. So, all right, Scott's comment, the news coming up. We'll be back after this on Wisdom. All right, welcome back to Lacrosse Talk PM. 608-785-7914 is the talk and text line. If you're driving here from Winona, stop. Turn around and go back to Winona. Winona County Emergency Management has issued a travel advisory for those traveling to La Crosse County. Don't do it. It's too much virus here. Don't even think about going out to eat in La Crosse. You probably shouldn't just don't do that anyway, even if you live in La Crosse. Again, 608-785-7914. I think Libertarian Guy is on. We just talked with Jessica Olson. She more or less, she did earlier today announced that she's running for mayor against Tim Cabot. If Tim Cabot decides to run, and I think Libertarian Guy wants to just talk about that a little bit. Go ahead. Is this Libertarian Guy? Hello.
Oh,
hey, number three. My bad. I anticipated
number three.
Almost Libertarian Guy. No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't read the text line there or the phone line. Go ahead.
You know I don't text.
No.
Anyway, I see in the paper today that the La Crosse buses will be free to ride for the remainder of 2020.
All right.
All right. Well, since when are they starting to give away diesel fuel?
I believe do the buses run on diesel? I don't think they do. I think we got a. Well, I don't think all of them do anyway. I think we got.
Oh, anyway. We got something. We keep getting grants and then use some money to buy another bus. But anyway, it says in order to keep our bus operators and the community safe, we will not be collecting fares for the remainder of the year. In fact, we've been given free rides since this epidemic started.
Okay. So you have a problem with people during a pandemic having to go to work and getting to ride the bus for free?
Well, if they're working, they're just like anybody else. We're not getting rides to everybody. I mean, to get on a bus and ride it for nothing, the bus is losing money every year the way it is. And now we're giving free rides to everybody. That don't make sense.
Okay. I feel like it's a way for the city. The city probably sees that as a way to help out. People are, you know, a little hard up right now.
Well, so. If they're working and got a job, it shouldn't be like any other time of their life, right? I mean, you got to get to work some way. If you don't have a car, you take the bus.
Right, but they're probably in a situation where they can't afford a car, you know, and they're also working during a pandemic, so they're going to work, you know, putting themselves at risk of contracting a virus. If they can't afford a car, you know, their health insurance is awesome, right? So you know, hopefully they don't get the virus and have to go to the hospital.
Well, yeah, we hope nobody gets that. But I'm just saying that the way this is going now with the business in La Crosse and places not being able to make rent payments, paying their taxes, which we're going to see, and then to give away free bus rides, to me, just don't make sense.
Yeah.
But I'm talking from a business point of view.
Yeah, I hear you. I think, thanks for the call. I think I think a lot of times we do this, and if you want to point at the city and you're doing this wrong, but we're often pointing at the smallest, the littlest guy, right? The littlest person out there. Who's making the lead? Who are we going to pick on? The person that doesn't have a job or has a job where they can't afford a car and have to use public transportation. We're going to pick on them. I mean, one could argue that the bus should just be free, period. And anyone that wants to ride it can ride it. God forbid that happened. So, Libertarian Guy, now he's calling in. Libertarian Guy, go ahead.
I am calling in. Hey, for your listeners, I was giving Rick a hard time on the talk and text line because I didn't feel like he was asking Jessica Olson very difficult questions.
Yeah.
So just a comment on that interview. I called it milk toast, and I'm fond of saying that politicians like to talk a lot, but they often don't say anything. So just a couple of comments. She mentioned that she wants to do it better. That's a quote. And I don't know what that means. Of course, she was saying that in the context of comparing herself as a potential mayoral candidate, comparing herself to Cabot. But I don't know what it means when she wants to do it better. That could mean so many things, like she wants to curtail spending so that maybe taxes could go down. Or she wants to increase spending so that you know, taxes go up, like building an art park, which would be just an endless costly boondoggle because every so often somebody would be wanting to add another piece of art. Or I facetiously said maybe put a drinking fountain on every corner in the various neighborhoods. So she talked about morale at the city council. Well, morale suffers all over the place. For those of us that are working and dealing with this pandemic, I'm not too concerned about the morale at the city hall. And so if she wants to do it better by building morale at city hall, I guess that's not important to me as a taxpayer. So I was just trying to encourage you to pin her down on some things. What would she actually do if she were mayor?
You know, she
lastly.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Just one more thing. Lastly, she was very supportive of the La Crosse Center. And it's like, how's that going? The place is shut down. Revenues certainly aren't keeping up with the cost. And there is a huge debt service. In looking at the flyer that comes with my tax bill, $10 million, almost as much as police and fire, just to pay interest on debt. So I'd love to hear her say that she'd like to get rid of the debt so that we're not wasting all that money on interest payments.
Yeah, I think.
Thanks for the forum, Rick. I'll let you go.
No, you can.
I'll listen.
Okay, all right. Thanks for the call. Libertarian guy calling in. I know he's driving home from work, so, and he doesn't want to argue with me, but I'd love to argue. No, I'm just kidding. I always say that. We could argue on the. Go ahead, call me up. We could argue. And he's like, I don't want to argue. But that's like my go-to word when I'm just talking about when we have a conversation on the phone. I do think Jessica Olson talked a little bit about, okay, she did talk about morale at City Hall, and Libertarian guy, yeah, I don't care about morale at City Hall. Maybe we should, you know, just maybe, and in general, I think maybe Jessica would attest to, hey, yeah, morale everywhere. You know, we can think about it in that regard too. Morale is probably down just about everywhere. But she did bring up that she wanted to get more people involved in how city government works. So, you know, if she's going to do it better, I think she mentioned transparency, and she you know, having meetings recorded and easily accessible. I think a lot of times when I go onto the city website too to try to find something, it's PDF after PDF after PDF. So if Jessica Olson takes over, I could even ask Cabot this the next time. Hey, Cabot, can we get rid of the PDFs here and just, can they just open up as their own webpage? I'm sick of downloading. I have 19 downloads of PDFs on my phone this week. I'm sick of downloading those. But she did talk a little bit about how she wanted to be more transparent, get more people involved. I think maybe she even meant younger people. She talked about college housing. I was going to blame her for the spread of the virus with all her college housing, but I ran out of time, and I didn't want to like joke around with her too much at this point. We will do that in the future as long as she continues to run. But yeah, she seems qualified. I mean, by the time April 2021 comes around, she might have a master's degree in servant leadership, and she's writing a thesis on city government, and she has a physics and math degree from UW La Crosse. So, I mean, in that regard, I think she's pretty qualified, and she's been in part of the city council for the last 3 years. So, yeah, and at this point, I kind of let her do her thing. And, yeah, maybe we can pin her down on some other stuff. I didn't even ask her what, you know, we talked about the city fire building that's in the capital improvement budget over the next, 5 years, and it's going to cost, what was it, $28 million, but $1 million is set aside for the upcoming year to buy land around that fire department. And speaking of that, La Crosse Fire Chief Ken Gilliam will be on here tomorrow, and La Crosse Assistant Police Chief Rob Abraham will be in here on Friday, so we can continue this whole conversation in the next 2 days. She talked about the La Crosse Center. She talked a little bit about how it's going now. I think she was in favor of it a couple years ago when we were, you know, deciding whether or not to fund $42 million expansion and $48 million at one point. But she did say we need to go to the people to these things, which is, you know, pretty broad and general and easy to say. We need to go to the people for all the things, of course. But that's a thing. Like maybe we needed more discussion on the La Crosse Center. Maybe we need more discussion on the city police combo building. Maybe we needed more discussion on the Hiawatha statue, right? Like that didn't get hardly any discussion. But while we're having protests each week to talk about, you know, systemic racism or Black Lives Matter, or however you want to describe that. We're having protests every week. I didn't see any rallies outside the Hiawatha statue to keep it there either. So I always joke that, hey, there's another 1,000 people out there rallying around the Hiawatha statue, but that never happened. So anyway, Bob's calling in. Bob, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'd just like to make a comment about Ron Johnson's report today.
Okay.
I'm trying to understand everything that went on, but I mean, I think that what's going to happen here, with just what Ron Johnson has found, I think Biden is done. I think he's going to have to withdraw from the race, because this isn't going to be hid. The media is trying to hide it, but it's going to come out, and then when it comes out, there's no way he survives it. Bernie Sanders will end up being the nominee yet.
It is out, Bob. You can go read it. It's wizardnews.com. The first paragraph links to the politically charged report, so you can read it right there. It's let's see if I click on it. It is a PDF, so anyone trying to read it on their cell phone is going to have to deal with 87 pages of PDF. So there it is. I mean, you can go read it right now, Bob.
Yep. It's I don't know. I just don't think he survives it. I think I'm not projecting withdrawals by the weekend.
All
maybe,
right.
Like I said, maybe Bernie Sanders will be the nominee yet.
We sent out ballots, Bob. The ballots are out. So whoever the nominees are. Thanks for the call. I don't think we can reel in those ballots. I think they've been sent out. I already requested my absentee ballot. Triple Tom's calling in. Triple Tom, go ahead.
Four things, and then you can ask me questions if you like. First one is, even if the ballots are out, you can still do a write-in, but these aren't usually successful. My other comment is, I'd like to see number three run for mayor. If he won't, then Libertarian guy, because both of them are brilliant. The other question I have for you, Rick, is you say that the bus rides should be free. Nothing is free. Someone has to pay for it. So I don't know if you'll have a conversation with me on it or not, but if my question to you is, who do you think should have to pay for it?
Yeah, I would argue with that, Tom, but it's 51 after. So
you mean to tell me, Rick, you think that it's free? You don't think that somebody has to pay for these things someday? Where do they get the diesel fuel? Nobody takes it.
If I'm riding the bus, I'm probably in a situation in my life where I need public transportation, and it should be free for me. That's what I meant by free. I got to take a break, so we'll be back to wrap up after this. All right, 1 minute to go here. I got to get through this whole minute before we do it again tomorrow with Lacrosse Fire Chief Ken Gilliam. Friday, Lacrosse Assistant Police Chief Rob Abraham. And Trigoski did text me, and he said, next week we'll do a recap of the debate, the most anticipated debate in the history of the world. Thanks for Jessica Olson for joining me today. I have this Ukraine report. That's what it's called. 87 pages now on my desktop. I'm just looking at it and being like, what? 87 pages. I'm sorry I didn't get to grill Jessica Olson about Hatch Baby and whether or not Lacrosse Mayor Tim Cabot did make the right decision there to bring Hatch Baby into the city. JW texted in, Biden is not done. That's a resume enhanced for Democrats. And Ryan says we need to get rid of half the council members. That would be a good first start for Jessica Olson. All right, thanks a lot, guys.